In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, the 20th Sunday after Trinity, is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, and reads as follows. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let's now sing hymn 400. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, and reads as follows. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, prayer is sometimes referred to as the breath of faith. It is how Christians talk to God. It is such a great privilege for a Christian to be able to bring to God all of his wants and concerns, knowing that God will hear and answer those prayers. Unbelievers do not have promises like that from God. Unbelievers cannot truly pray, because a proper prayer must be made in Jesus' name, which means with faith in Jesus as one Savior from sin. Unbelievers don't have that. Based on their natural knowledge of God, sometimes unbelievers will attempt prayer, but they really don't even know to whom they are praying, or for whose sake alone their prayers might be heard. Not only has God not promised to hear the prayers of unbelievers, in fact, the Bible says that those who do not follow God's word but attempt to pray to him, their prayers are abomination before him. We Christians, on the other hand, are assured by God that he hears and answers all our prayers. We are sometimes tempted, though, to doubt this, because God does not always give us exactly what we asked for, exactly when we asked for it. Why not? Because he loves us. Because he knows what's best for us, much better than we do. And like a good parent wouldn't just give his child whatever the child asks for, whenever the child asks for it, because it wouldn't be good for the child. So also God doesn't do that with us. Instead, he will answer all of our prayers in his own way, in his own time, in the way that really does serve our spiritual and eternal welfare. Which means that he'll sometimes answer our prayers completely differently than what we had in mind. Now, none of this should make us feel like it's pointless to pray. No, in our text for today, Jesus rather encourages us to pray with persistence and with confidence. And on the basis of our text, we shall see in the first place that God wants us to be persistent in praying. Praying continually, not giving up. And secondly, that God wants us to trust his promises concerning prayer. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. In the first verse of our text, we're told that Jesus chose this parable in order to give instruction in the importance of praying with untiring persistence. We read, And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to get tired and give up. Now, it is important to remember that this is the point of the parable, so that wrong conclusions are avoided. Yes, in this parable, Jesus illustrates the effectiveness of persistent praying by describing a widow who cries continually to a judge to avenge her of her adversary. Now, the judge ends up helping her, but not because he is a good judge. Rather, because she was just so persistent in asking for help. Christ says in our text, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." So it's purely on the basis of her persistence that the widow ends up getting the help that she requested from that unjust, uncaring judge. Again, when it comes to the interpretation of parables, it is important to keep in mind the point and be able to distinguish between the point of comparison and then the other details that are simply added for the story's sake. Failing to make this distinction can lead one to miss the point of the parable entirely, or to draw some conclusions that would go against other passages of God's word. For example, in this short parable in our text, the point, as we were told in the very first verse, was to teach people to pray with persistence. If this point is not correctly understood, one might conclude that God is like an unjust judge, that he doesn't even care about us, that he doesn't answer our prayers out of love, but simply because he's tired of listening to us and wants us to stop bothering him. That can't be the right conclusion. Because again, at the very beginning of our text, in the first verse, it said that Jesus taught this because he wanted the people to pray continuously. Not getting tired, not giving up, not fainting. So that's what Jesus is stressing here. Untiring persistence. He taught the same thing a few chapters earlier in Luke chapter 11 with a different parable. In that parable, and if you want to look at it, it's Luke 11 verses 5 through 8. In that parable, Jesus talked about a man who went to a friend at midnight for help with some food for a guest that came unexpectedly. And there too, Jesus says that the man doesn't end up helping him because he's nice, but because he's just tired of the persistent pestering of his friend. This is not the main point of the parable, but it is a true point that even unbelievers, those who are wicked, can be moved to help through a person's persistent pestering. Now, if we understand that that's the case even with unbelievers, so much more should we understand that God will certainly answer the prayers of his believing children, whom he does love dearly, when they pray with untiring persistence. Jesus sets forth a similar point of comparison later in Luke 11, verse 13, where he says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Being persistent in prayer is never a waste of time, even though it might feel like it, when it does not seem like God is hearing or answering our prayers. Applying the parable to the prayers of his believing children, his elect, Jesus says in our text, And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. To avenge them means to bring justice, vindication for those who have been mistreated. Now, this is a reference back to the parable in which the widow was asking the judge to avenge her of her adversary. And that point obviously applies more broadly to the help that God gives to his believing children, no matter what they're praying for. Now, our text uses the word speedily with reference to God's answer to our prayers. But remember, that might not be speedily according to our timetable. Rather, his answer will always be speedily at the exact moment that he knows to be best. And we should certainly not demand that God follow our time schedule. That would be both foolish and sinful. We, in and of ourselves, do not even know what's best for us. We, in and of ourselves, do not deserve to have any of our prayers answered. Just think about how many times we sin every day, even just with regard to praying, because we don't always pray with the kind of confidence and trust in the Lord that we should. We don't always come to him quickly for help. We sometimes think that we can handle things fine on our own. Sometimes we neglect praying altogether. That's sinful. God tells us to pray, to come to him for help immediately. And it's utter arrogance on the part of man to think that he can do anything without God. Because of such sins and all the other sins we commit, the only thing we really deserve from God is his wrath and punishment. So it is only on account of our Lord Jesus Christ that God loves us, that God promises to hear and answer our prayers. For Jesus, as the substitute for all mankind, kept God's law perfectly and suffered the punishment that we deserve because of our sins. By faith in the gospel's promises of grace, we receive that forgiveness, forgiveness of all our transgressions. And for Christ's sake, God is our loving Heavenly Father who does hear and answer our prayers. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, pleading his righteousness, his merit, rather than our own. It is only by being clothed in the righteousness of Christ that we are able to bring our requests to the Lord and be assured of his gracious response. But obviously, we should never forget whom we are addressing when we pray. God is not our servant. We have no right to demand that he do anything for us. He is our God, our Creator, our dear Savior. So we approach him in love and with the utmost respect. Not only would it be completely inappropriate, sinful for us to demand that God do what we tell him to do, yes, it would be most foolish. God knows so much more than we do. We might think we know what's best, but God actually does know what's best. And so if it's a choice between having his will done and our will being done, we should definitely want his will to be done, even if it's the exact opposite of ours. God tells us in the book of Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It is certainly much better to wait patiently for our all-wise Heavenly Father to answer our prayers in his own time, in his own way, rather than thinking that we know what's best. Sometimes with hindsight, we can see how God's answer to our prayers very differently than what we had prayed, was far better than what we had asked. But sometimes we won't be able to understand God's ways. Again, His ways are infinitely higher than ours. We don't really need to know how God's ways are better. We're just simply to trust that His ways are better. Know and accept that fact. He promises, the well-known verse in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. Even the things that we might consider to be setbacks are really designed for our good. It may seem at times that God will not answer our prayers when His answer is delayed, or when it's different than what we had in mind. But in the Scriptures, we are assured from God's own mouth that yes, He will hear and answer our prayers. He promises it to us. And God always keeps His promises. Jesus says in our text, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Likewise in the Gospel according to St. John, Jesus firmly declares, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. Such promises from our faithful God should fill us with the greatest confidence, knowing that He will certainly keep His promises. God's promises are so different than the promises that our fellow human beings might give us. We really can't count on them keeping their promises, both because humans lie, but also because humans aren't always able to do what they say, even if they sincerely want to. In the case of God, He never will lie. And He's always able to help. He's almighty, all-powerful. There's nothing He can't do. Even in situations that might seem hopeless to us, we should never doubt God's ability to help. But the greatest reason that we should pray with the utmost confidence that God will answer our prayers is what the Gospel tells us about His love for us in Christ Jesus. This means that He does not deal with us according to our sins, but forgives us through Christ. He loves us and desires only what's best for us. Thus, when we pray in Jesus' name, praying with faith in Christ as our Savior from sin, yeah, we should be most confident that God will hear and answer our prayers for Jesus' sake in the way that really serves our good. Referring to this confidence in prayer for Jesus' sake, the writer to the Hebrews declares, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, with all our sins forgiven, we don't have to be fearful to approach the Lord. We can approach Him boldly, knowing that He loves us in Christ. That's something only Christians can do. Only Christians have that gospel-generated confidence in God's answer to their prayers. And since we know from the Scriptures that the vast majority of people in the world are not Christians, the vast majority of people in the world have to live their lives without having this comforting assurance that God will hear and answer their prayers. The Bible also tells us that as we draw ever closer to the last day of this world's existence, there will be fewer and fewer true believers. Very few people will be able truly to call upon the Lord in prayer through faith in Christ. And thus we see at the end of our text that Jesus asks rhetorically, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on earth? He doesn't answer that question directly here in our text. We learn the answer from other passages of Scripture, that when Christ returns, there will be some, but very, very few believers. very few people who have not turned away from the Lord. On the last day, almost all mankind will have turned against God. The Bible describes those last days as being like the days of Noah, when the flood came and there were only 8 believers on the whole earth. The fact that you and I do not follow the vast majority of people in their unbelief and rejection of the gospel is not anything that we can take credit for. Because by nature, we're just as evil and wicked as all the unbelievers. And we would reject the gospel as foolishness too, if left to ourselves and our own reason. But thankfully, the Holy Ghost converted us, changed us from that natural fleshly objection to the Lord, and brought us to saving faith in Christ, thus making us recipients of God's grace through Him. And one of the great blessings that we have as the children of God is the ability to bring all of our prayers, all our wants and concerns before Him, being confident of His gracious answer. Knowing this to be the case, we should go quickly to the Lord for help. Knowing that He'll always answer our prayers in the very best way, we should happily, cheerfully submit our will to His, accepting whatever answer He gives without complaint. When we are tempted to become discouraged because it might not seem like God is hearing or answering our prayers or doing anything to help us with our problems, let us simply trust His promise that He will indeed answer our prayers in His own way and at His own time. That might mean that He does not take away our crosses, but instead gives us the strength to bear the cross. And if that's the case, that's for our good. So may God grant us a firmer trust and confidence in His grace. Grant us and move us to untiring persistence in prayer. Give us patience as we await His answer. Give us wisdom to see how God's timing and answers to our prayers are always best. Through Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We give thee heartfelt thanks for thy precious gifts of grace through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as our thank offering, we place before thee of the earthly blessings which thou hast given us. And we pray that thou wouldst bless these offerings for thy mercy's sake. Amen. Let us rise to pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, who for them that love thee makest all things work together for good, in the precious name of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, we give thanks unto thee for all things, for thy mercy in times of adversity and affliction, for thy goodness in the love of family and the companionship of friends, and for thy strengthening help in paths of hardship and temptation, for thy bounty and knowledge and wisdom, and for the light when the way is dark and unknown. But especially do we thank thee for the gift of thy dear Son, by whose death and resurrection thou hast brought unto us life and everlasting salvation. Grant, O Father, that we may be filled with thy Holy Spirit, so that we may have a good understanding of thy word and will, and power to walk faithfully therein in obedience and love. Enlighten our minds that we may rescue the fleeting hours of this life from evil and foolishness by laying hold of every opportunity to do good. Transform our hearts so that we may find joy not in iniquity, but in worship of thee, communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the fellowship of thy people. And we pray for our seminary. Dear Lord, our need is great. And thou hast told us in thy word that there is something lacking in a Christian congregation where the pastoral office is not established and properly supported. We beseech thee, move the hearts of men throughout our conference with the earnest desire to serve thee in the pastoral office and to enroll in our seminary, that thy word may continue to be preached and taught in our congregations in all its truth and purity. We ask thy blessing upon Pastor Leitz. Mercifully strengthen him in body, mind, and spirit, that he may faithfully perform the work of the ministry that thou hast given him. Grant thy grace and power also upon our brethren in Nigeria and Russia, and uphold them in every trial and affliction. Cause them and all of us to be instant in prayer and approach thy throne of grace in the certainty of thy love for us in Christ. All these things and whatever else we should have asked, we pray in the name of him who is thine only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we furthermore pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, who hast prepared all things for our salvation, thou didst call us to the marriage feast of thy dear Son, the bridegroom of our souls. We beseech thee, cleanse and direct our hearts, that we may not reject thy gracious invitation, but willingly follow thy word, and being clothed by faith with the garment of Christ's righteousness, obtain eternal life with all thine elect, through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 6 of hymn 428.